Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show this morning, Andrew Rogerson. Today's Tuesday, May 14th, and it's a good day to be alive because guess what? We're alive. The show today, I've got two guests of the show. My first guest this morning is Ron Crane, and Ron's with DCA Partners. And my second guest this morning will be Elsa Genix. Elsa's in Arizona, and he manages three franchise concepts. Ron is the managing director for DCA Partners, and they specialize in three areas of business. They're interested in helping people with advisory services. So if your business is struggling and not quite sure where to go, or maybe you've got the reverse problem where you're looking for growth and you want some advice on how to get there, that's one of the areas that DCA Partners specializes in. They also do M&A activity or mergers and acquisition activity, and that's Ron's specialty, and we'll get some more tips and information from Ron when we talk to him shortly. And they also do private equity. They've chosen to do private equity here. Ron says they focus on the Valley because it's not normally an area that a lot of private equity groups, a lot of the private equity groups are on the East Coast and in the large cities. And so they tend to ignore or not aware of the benefits of some of the things happening in the Valley. So DCA Partners has a private equity fund. They've just finished one round of funding, and Ron tells me they're looking to expand with their second round. And again, we'll get some more information from Ron shortly. So what's this show about? This show's about people who want to be in business, those that are dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information and ready to take action. We cover topics that cover the spectrum of selling a business or buying a business or buying a franchise. These topics include finance, legal issues, tax, accounting, as well as sales and marketing. Or as I like to say, where Wall Street meets Main Street. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and of course, Successfully Sell Your Business. If you'd like more information about selling a business or buying a franchise, you're welcome to visit my website. Lots of free information on there, blogs and white papers and free information. My website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. R-O-G-E-R-S-O-N, RogersonBusinessServices.com. Please go to my website, and it's fairly well laid out. I'm in the process of having a new web designer give me some tips to improve it, but lots of free information there. So if you're thinking of becoming an entrepreneur or you're thinking of selling a business, information there about business valuation, selling a business, buying a franchise, all sorts of things, and over 230 blogs, I think, at last count. So you're welcome to visit my website. If you also want to listen to these shows, they're available on my website. Simply go to the website. There's a black ribbon across the top. It's got all sorts of drop-downs. There's one there called Media, and each of these shows I've been doing since February is available. So you can just click on the Media tab, and you'll see a link to 105.5 FM, and then each of the shows is available. So if you're listening today and you're out driving around and you hear some pearls of wisdom from Ron Crane, you're welcome to go on the show, go onto the website, and you'll pick things up from there, and you can give Ron a call with questions. That information will also be available on my website, so please do that. Each week I like to mention a charity. It's one of the things I think is important. If we're not helping with charities or not supporting charities, the world is simply not getting any better. And so normally I like to highlight a charity. This morning I wanted to mention a charity that Ron's involved with, so I'll introduce Ron in a minute, but he's very involved with charities. He's currently actively involved with Shoulder to Shoulder. Ron, have I got you here?
Yes, you do.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you. Tell me a little about Shoulder to Shoulder. I know you've talked to me a little bit about it before. They're based on helping people in Del Paso Heights. What's Shoulder to Shoulder about?
At Shoulder to Shoulder, we mentor fatherless boys in Del Paso Heights, and where 70%, yes, that's right, 70% of the boys in Del Paso Heights are fatherless. So we mentor these young men to change their lives. We often tell them that there's if they follow the footsteps of their uncle or their older brother that has gotten in trouble, they may end up in juvenile hall. We have what we call Freedom Hall, where we bring the young men in to work with the mentors and the tutors to change their life and their focus so we can be part of breaking the cycle of fatherlessness.
So that's an incredible statistic, Ron. You just 70% of the boys are fatherless.
That's correct.
That's just an amazing statistic, 70%. You know, if we had 70% unemployment, we'd be replacing every politician that we could, but 70% are fatherless.
And also because of the fatherlessness down there and the lack of guidance, greater than 50% of the young men starting high school will not graduate. Again, a true statistic, yep. Greater than 50%.
When the charity first started? It started about
7 years ago.
7 years ago, okay. And so the vision of the charity was simply to help these fatherless young kids? And
yes, focusing specifically in Del Paso Heights, where okay. We have this tremendous problem.
And they're all boys, so the focus is boys?
Well, it is fatherless boys, but also we have learned that it's also important to help mentor the mothers. So we have Moms for Moms program as well. So as we mentor the young men, when they go home, the mothers know how to deal with the fatherless boys and help encourage them to participate in Shoulder to Shoulder and Freedom Hall, to stay in school, to stay focused, to become true men and break this cycle of fatherlessness.
So interesting. I wondered if you help the mothers, because I would presume that to break the cycle, it's a matter of bringing both them together, because I presume the mothers are overwhelmed with the responsibilities of being a mother, and they haven't got that skill set of being a father, obviously, because their role is being a mother. So the mums are an important part of the solution.
Absolutely important part of it. It's gone on in this area for so long, this fatherlessness, that some of the boys have no idea what it's like to be a father or a husband. I can tell you a quick story where one of the young men asked the president of the organization, he said, can I speak with you for a moment? And he said, yes. And he said, my mother says when I get older, he was a sophomore in high school. He said, my mother said when I get older, I have to get married. And the young man didn't know what that meant. He had never met his father. Everyone he knew was fatherless, and he didn't really know what it meant. So he was looking for some guidance of what it meant to be a father and what it meant to be a husband. You and I take that for granted.
Absolutely.
But not everyone.
Yep. That's intriguing. How do you help, Ron? What's your role there?
I'm on the board of directors, and I'm also head up our what we call the donor engagement committee, which is the committee that keeps the nonprofit financially stable. And in fact, we're having a bowl-a-thon this coming Sunday in Rockland, and part of it is we're raising money through the sale of raffle tickets and sponsors of our teams to make more people aware of what Shoulder to Shoulder is all about and what we're trying to achieve, and B, obviously, to raise financial support.
So if somebody wanted to come to the bowl-a-thon, what's the simplest and easiest way to get more information?
If they go to our website, which is teamsts.org, there's all kinds of information there, or you can call me directly if you like, 916-223-2718.
Great, okay. Ron's involved with Shoulder to Shoulder. They've got an interesting website. Went there the other day and had a look. www.teamsts.org. They're a charity, and like all charities, they're looking for as much help as they can. If you're a mother and want to give them support, they would obviously welcome that. If you're a father, some of the mentoring you do, Ron, obviously you're looking for more men to become involved to help as a role model for these kids?
Absolutely. We could use a lot more mentors. There's no shortage of young men.
Okay.
And we are changing our model to go more of like the big brothers, big sister model, where it's one-on-one mentoring. And if you've ever been involved with that type of an organization, you know that truly does change lives.
Okay. Ron, great. Thanks for mentioning that. You know, we see these different needs around our community, and we're not quite sure who's doing things. But Ron's actively involved, and I want to thank him for the work he does. And again, if you want more information about Shoulder to Shoulder, you're welcome to go to their website, www.teamsts.org, and you can pick up some more information. So Ron's a guest of my show, and Ron's an entrepreneur by I was going to say by trade, which isn't quite right, but he grew up as an entrepreneur. So entrepreneurs, big for Ron. When we come back from break, I'm going to have some more questions for Ron. And I'm just looking to my producer to make sure we're heading into break. Is that? Yep, we are. Yeah. So let's take a break and we'll be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Hello?
Hi.
What?
I'm Lisa from SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Who?
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Never heard of it.
Look, I know some people think of us as entertainment, but lots of people find jobs through us. So in order to be taken seriously, I'm going door to door with my harp.
I'm not home.
Then who's talking?
Are you going to play the harp?
Are you a harp fan?
Nope. Beautiful.
Thank you. Employers find local qualified employees.
Oh.
Post ads in minutes.
Oh.
Start getting resumes right away.
Don't sing.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Long name, amazing results.
I thought you never heard of us.
Nope, never.
John McCain may be onto something. The Arizona Republican has introduced a bill in the Senate that would let you subscribe to only the cable TV channels you really want, not the other 120 or so that you never watch. McCain thinks the a la carte selection process would save consumers hundreds of dollars a year. The government says inflation isn't really a factor in the economy right now, just 1.5%. But author Peter Schiff says that if you look at the price of a Big Mac over the last few years, you'll find that it's more like 3.3%, and don't even think about factoring in the cost of gas. And a new study has suggestion for preventing heart disease. Get a dog. The researchers aren't sure if healthier people tend to have dogs or if having a dog makes you healthier, but either way, it certainly doesn't hurt. At least you'll get a little exercise and maybe the dog will eat your lunch. I'm Stacey Cohen. Learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
Money Experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. My guest this morning is Ron Crane. Ron's a managing director at DCA Partners. And DCA Partners do help people with advisory work on turning around their business or growing their business if growth's something they're wanting to look at. They also specialize in M&A activity, and that's Ron's bailiwick, and we'll be talking to Ron about that shortly. And they're also involved in doing private equity. So DCA Partners up in Roseville on Douglas Boulevard, great office there. I met the people at DCA Partners. They have a quarterly event at Sac State, and I met Ron there about two events ago, and just totally impressed with the quality of what they do at DCA Partners. All about quality, just very impressive. So if you need help with turning around your business or growing your business, or looking at private equity or M&A, and we'll talk about that in a minute with Ron. Place to the guys to give them a call there. They're got an outstanding outfit there. Ron, you were talking about shoulder to shoulder before, which is great. I see from your little bio you gave me that you've got a very entrepreneurial family. Tell me a little bit about how you started as an entrepreneur.
My father was an entrepreneur all his life. I think the only paychecks he ever received from someone else was the U.S. Army during the Second World War. Other than that, he's been business for himself. My two grandfathers were self-employed entrepreneurs, so I kind of grew up in that environment and got a taste of it early on in my career and have enjoyed the process. Not that there aren't some frustrations and some challenges, but done properly with a lot of hard work, the rewards can normally be there.
What was your father? What did your father entrepreneurially at?
Well, my grandfather started, my last name is Crane, and I'm from the Midwest, and my grandfather started Crane Feed Incorporated in 1936, and then my father took it over, and then I had a brother took it over. So it's in the feed and grain fertilizer business back in the Midwest.
And what brought you to the West Coast then? How did you out here?
Originally, I came to San Diego, compliments of Uncle Sam, the U.S. Navy, where I spent 3 years on Coronado. And so thank you, Uncle Sam, for that.
Yeah.
And I got started in computer software while I was in the Navy, and then got more involved in that after I got out of the Navy. Another fellow and I started a software company, and I moved from San Diego to Minneapolis. And we built a software company where we sold financial management systems to government agencies throughout the United States and Canada. And we sold that in the late 80s to EDS, Ross Perot's firm. And as a result of that, I moved to Sacramento area.
Yeah. EDS, great company. Ross Perot was presidential candidate, I think, in 96 or 92. Have I got that right?
I think it was 92.
92, was it? Yeah. Many years ago. But
long time ago.
Another great entrepreneur, and EDS was actually acquired probably 2 years or so ago, I think, by HP.
That's correct.
And I used to work at HP, so I kind of follow what they're doing because just interest. They're a great company. So right now, Ron, you're working for DCA Partners. How long have you been with DCA Partners?
About 5 years.
5 years. And the role you're playing there, you're an M&A advisor, is that right?
That's correct. I focus virtually all my time on representing either companies that want to be sold or companies that want to expand through acquisition.
And the skills you've learned come from growing up and building your software and selling it to Ross Perot. That's some of the skills you've learned being in business that you're applying to the M&A work?
Correct. Also, from the time that I started in business until the time I decided to move into mergers and acquisitions, in 2002, I believe it was, I had a number of different experiences. In the IT business, I ran an IT company here in town for a number of years. I ran a public company where I commuted from here to Orange County every week for 7 years. And that was an environmental company that we converted to a software company and eventually sold that. And when I came back to Sacramento after being gone during the week for almost 7 years, my business contacts were few. And so I was looking to see what I wanted to do. And looking back over the last few years, I realized that I'd been through almost a dozen M&A transactions myself, either as an owner-operator or with this public company. And I realized that I really like the process of the transaction. It has its frustrations, but it also has a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. So it was more project-oriented. So I decided at that time to get into the merger and acquisition business and have enjoyed it ever since.
Yeah, interesting. So the Orange County, there's a great technology hub down there. The perception is that Silicon Valley is the place in California where all the technology happens. But Orange County, there's some pretty clever technology companies down there.
That's correct. We were in the Spectrum area, which has a lot of technology companies.
And one of the models with technology is that you develop an idea, you put it into code, and you develop a piece of software, and then you wait for the offers to come in from the big boys to buy you out, be it HP or Dell or whatever. Is that the business model?
Well, I think that's the desire of most people in Silicon Valley. That's their idea. They're going to get some money, start a company, and hope when someone comes along and they can be the next Facebook or
right.
One of those and make a gazillion dollars. But that doesn't happen all that often.
No. But it's intriguing. Takeovers or mergers and acquisition in the technology industry is a very normal way of doing business. That's how the tech companies grow.
That's how the big companies get larger. They typically don't develop a lot of software themselves. They do acquire the young, growing companies that have the new ideas.
Yep. I was interested to watch the news the other day. Marissa Myers, the new CEO of Yahoo. And there was a young lad, he's 16 years old, and he just developed a new piece of software, and Marissa Meyer offered to buy him out. He's 16 years old, and she cut him a check for $38 million.
Yeah, I saw that.
And what caught my eye was that, I think I'm right saying this, he's either born in the UK and grew up in Australia, or he was born in Australia and grew up in the UK. So that was the part that caught my attention, that this guy, you know, other side of the world, 16 years old. One next morning he rolls out of bed. He's worth $38 million. And Marissa Meyer simply offered to buy his software because he's 16 years old. And he now goes and works for Yahoo. So that's how she builds her intellectual property by acquiring these companies and bringing on the kids to work in the business and make Yahoo more successful.
And these young kids, you know, they don't know that the word failure.
No.
They get started in the IT industry, and they get an idea, and they build it, and no one can tell them they can't get it done. And all of a sudden, you're like, this kid, he's 30, or he's 16 years old, and worth $30+ million.
Yeah, it's amazing. What's a typical customer, Ron? Who's a typical customer that you'd work with that you're trying to help?
Our customers will range in I'm talking about value, anywhere from $5 million and on up. In the Sacramento area, we don't have a lot of huge companies, so typically our clients are going to be those clients whose company is worth between $5 and $50 million. And on the sell side, it's those individuals that are looking to exit for whatever reason, whether it's time to go to that next chapter in their life that some people refer to as retirement, or if it's to they've been doing this for 20 years and they want to do something else, whatever the reason, we will help them. We'll put together a strategy. We will identify who the target should be to buy this company. We don't have an idea that advertising is the right approach when we're marketing these companies. What we do is we target a list of people that should be interested in buying this company. We reach out to them and hopefully can create somewhat of a silent auction type of an environment or competitive auction type environment. So, and whether that's on the buy side or the sell side, the companies are about the same, $5 million to $50 million in enterprise value. And we take that approach, and we limit the number of clients that each one of us deals with because it takes a long time. People ask me, how long is it going to take to sell my business? And I say, well, you have to figure a year. And that seems like a long time. But when you take the time to build what I affectionately call the book, the sales document, to get to know the company, to really understand its financials, to understand where it sits in the marketplace, to properly position it to achieve the greatest value that we possibly can, go out and talk to the potential buyers, negotiate, get a deal done. Often it takes a year's time to do that, to accomplish that objective.
And that 12 months time is really when you start going to market. So it often be you could be talking to a client maybe 3 years, 2 years before they actually get in the process of actually going to market.
Absolutely. In fact, my preference is to get to know a company long before it's time to go to market, have conversations with them about what their company's doing, and maybe even give them some ideas about how we can change what's going on in the company at the current time to increase the value.
So how do you see has the economy affected business? Have you seen the last 5 years, the technology industry's done reasonably well? How have you seen through the recession, how have you seen what you've been doing?
Well, I think like so many businesses, 08, 09 was very, very slow. And particularly in 09 and the first part of 2010, there was little activity going on in the M&A market. People didn't know what to do. I mean, the economy was going the wrong direction. Nobody knew where it was going to end up. Values had slipped. Banks weren't loaning money. And it became a real challenge through 9 and 10. That being said, last year, 2012, was a very good year for us. This year started off being a very, very good year for us. So I think that the economy is starting to improve somewhat, and it appears as though that's having a positive effect on our M&A business.
My guest this morning is Ron Crane. He's the Managing Director at DCA Partners. If you've got questions for Ron, you want to talk to him after the show, you're welcome to give him a call. The number I've got for his office is 916-960-5350. Ron's a good guy. One of the critical pieces that an M&A advisor brings to the transaction is trust. And that's part of the background you can get from talking to Ron. He's a quality guy. He gives his time to the charities and things. Ron, we're going to wrap it up there. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Our time flown. Ron, thank you for being a guest. It was great to have you on board. And if you've got any interest in an M&A activity, Ron's the guy to call. And I'll give his number out again towards the end of the show. But Ron, thank you for being a guest this morning.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll take a break and we're back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogers and Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
U.S. stocks advance on increased economic optimism. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks rising, sending the S&P 500 index to a record for an eighth time in 9 days on increased optimism over growth in the world's largest economy. Financial shares climbed the most as hedge fund manager David Tepper called U.S. banks a good sector. Bank of America and Citigroup rose more than 2.2%. Take-Two Interactive Software rallied 4.3% after reporting profit that beat analyst estimates. Well, confidence among small business owners climbed in April to a six-month high as the outlook for the economy and sales brightened. That's according to the National Federation of Independent Businesses. The Dow is up 90 points to 15,181, S&P 500 index up 0.9% to 1647, and the Nasdaq gained 0.6% to 3462. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
This is Cole Garcia again for the California Institute for Financial Literacy. Few things are more important than making sure your retirement income lasts a lifetime. The California Institute for Financial Literacy is bringing you Retirement Planning 101 courses May 21st at William Jessup University. If you are currently retired or looking to retire, you simply cannot miss this. With a focus on strategically diversifying your assets and minimizing taxes, while learning about important issues such as Medicare, Social Security, CalPERS, and CalSTRS, all while creating a personalized retirement income strategy. Everything you need to know about retirement finance in just four quick classes and for only a $39 enrollment fee. The next Retirement Planning 101 is at William Jessup University in Rockland, May 21st. For more information or to register, please call 1-800-749-0619 or visit caifl.org. That's C-A-I-F as in finance, L.O-R-G. Rest easy today, rest easier when you retire.
Are you intrigued by commercial real estate but want a dependable, solid return you can count on as supplemental or retirement income? Call today to set your no-obligation appointment with Steve Harper, Managing Director of KW Commercial and host of the Straight Talk Real Estate Hour. Steve will take you through proven strategies and tailor an option for you. Call Steve at 916-798-1116. That's 798-1116. California DRE Brokers License Number 01267541.
This is Chris Hedrick with Big Valley Mortgage and co-host of Straight Talk Real Estate Hour. With the frequency of changes in loan programs, costs, down payment requirements, and overall credit qualifications, getting a home loan may seem daunting if not impossible. My commitment to you is to ease this process, communicate throughout the transaction, and above all, give you transparency and assurance. Let me and my team provide you with the first-class service that you deserve. Call me today at 916-969-6537. That's 916-969-6537. Or visit me at my website, bvmhometeam.com. Be a part of the winning team. Join the BVM Home Team for your next purchase or refinance. NMLS 222374, DRE 01457009.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. This morning, my first guest was Ron Crane, and Ron's the managing director with DCA Partners. And I finished my conversation with Ron, but I've got a gentleman calling in from Arizona. His name's Elza Genix, and Elza is a franchise development officer, and he represents three different franchise concepts. And I thought it was interesting to bring Elza on because he doesn't just do one franchise concept, he doesn't just do two, he's actually got three concepts. Elza there, have I got you there or not?
I am here, Andrew. Thank you for having me on.
No, great. I'm glad you came on board. So you've got to help me, Elza Genix. That's a mouthful. Where's that name originate from?
I'm a hodgepodge of European countries. There, basically Scandinavian. The name Elza has been in the family for quite some time, 15th century, actually. It's been traced back to the 15th century. So it's been around for a while, Andrew.
So narrow down Scandinavia for me. Talking about Norway, Sweden, or Finland?
Sweden.
Sweden, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the blonde women come from, I'm told. Have I got that right?
That's right.
So I read on your bio you're a bit of a sports enthusiast. Is that right? You played a bit of football in your day. Is that right?
Yes, I did. I did. I played football for Arizona State University. I'm a Sun Devil. So my wife is actually, she was a gymnast for Arizona State as well. So the family, the boys, I've got three little boys, and they're in just about as involved in every sport we can possibly get them into. So we do. It is kind of a sports enthusiast family.
That's good. I like that. That's how I grew up. Grew up in Australia. I played Australian rules football. I played cricket. Played tennis, and anything with a round ball and two older brothers. We were dangerous. So
mm-hmm.
I can relate.
That's good.
One of your children is autistic, and I see you're very comfortable mentioning that. And the reason I mentioned is that my nephew's also autistic, and those kids bring you a great blessing. They do have some difficulties, but the giving and the love of an autistic child is just immense. Is that your experience?
Oh man, Andrew, you hit the nail on the head. That kid's heart. My oldest is autistic. His name is Channing, and he has the heart of 20 men. He's an amazing child. He's always got a smile on his head. He'll have a fit every once in a while, but as soon as he's done with his fit, he'll apologize, and he's right on to his smiling and his laughing, and he's just a great kid.
Yeah, that's great. And he's got two younger brothers, so that's a great support for him to have two younger brothers to help keep him in line, I would think.
Absolutely, and actually they're very close in age. So my first two are Irish twins, so they're only 11 months apart. And then my third is only 14 months behind that, so it's a really close-knit group. They watch out for each other very well.
Yep, no, that's great. So what's the correct title for you? Are you a regional franchise developer? Is that accurate? How do you describe yourself?
I'm basically a director of franchising. So when a franchisor is looking to expand out of the region where they're primarily focused on, when they're ready to go nationwide, I assist them. Half of my job is putting together a marketing plan, figuring out what they're doing now, and then either altering it or stopping some things. And then the other half of my job is when the leads come in, I take the leads. I always call that from qual form to closed. So when my leads come in, you walk them through the various stages of the franchise development process, and hopefully you come out at the end of the funnel with some good deals.
Right. And how long have you been franchising? I think you've been doing this for a while. Is that right?
I've been in franchising now for 11 years, and I've pretty much worn every hat there is. I've done everything from pre-qualification of internet leads all the way up to actual documentation sales, turning businesses into franchises. My primary focus has been in larger territorial deals, you know, regional development, master franchising, area development, stuff like that. But I've been in franchising now for 11 years.
And what's kept you in franchising? Why haven't you gone back and played football or gone and done something else? What keeps you in franchising?
Well, my knees kept me out of football, but I believe franchising is very exciting. I get to see very new concepts. I get to watch them grow, and I have a very integral part in helping them grow. Because I'm an athlete, franchising, just like athletes or sports, just like veterans and veteran franchising is big these days, you get to follow a system. You take other people's ideas and apply them to make a profit. The biggest problem in starting your own business, if you're a true entrepreneur, is you step in a lot of potholes, and those potholes cost you money. So I call franchise people franchipreneurs because they have an entrepreneurial vein, but they like to do it through franchising because other people have stepped in the potholes for them. And I think that's exciting. In today's economy, being that franchising is primarily small business, and small business is what runs this country. So I think it's very exciting.
Yep. No, I have a similar take on things. Rather than call them franchipreneurs, I see them as being intrapreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So an entrepreneur is somebody who may have the initial concept, and then they bring to the franchise model, and what they're doing is bringing intrapreneurs on board who are comfortable following that model. And just like you talked about with a football team, no one player can win a game on a football team. It's a team sport, and that's
exactly
what franchising's about as well. So I do like the analogy you gave there. I think it's very good. You're currently representing three franchise concepts, and that's of interest to me because the three concepts that you're representing They have nothing in common with each other. And that's the beauty of franchising, is there's just a diverse range of businesses that touch different industries. And to me, that's incredibly interesting that you can take these different different industries with different concepts and put them together. So I thought we'd talk about the three of them. We're going to have to move fairly quickly because you've got three. But the first one I'm going to have trouble pronouncing, so I'm going to let you pronounce it for me. It looks like Kalgoorlie. It's in Australia. We have a town which they mine gold called Kalgoorlie, but this is spelt like it, but I'm not pronouncing it correctly. How do you pronounce that one?
It's Koalaji, kind of like koala bear, but Koalaji.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. So yeah. So tell me about Koalaji. What the heck's that all about?
Well, Koalaji is a massage spa concept. So facials, body wraps. Massage is probably 40-50% of their gross revenue. They've been around for a while. They've been around since 2003. We have sold approximately 50 units. Now, that's actual units that have been signed, not
open the doors.
Yeah, exactly. So,
right.
So Koalaji is kind of that feel good concept. Biggest competitor, I guess, it's in the massage envy space.
Right.
So everybody's familiar with massage envy. They are in the same space as Koalaji.
So it's a retail concept then, is that right?
That's correct.
Yep. And what's the approximate? Is there an approximate store size that someone opens up when they're getting into one of these concepts?
Yeah, you're looking at about 2,500 square feet. It's going to have about 14 different rooms inside of that. So the build-out's going to be quite significant. You're in the $300,000 to $400,000 in initial investment range. That's a $39,000 franchise fee up front. And then your ongoing royalties is 5%.
Okay.
So ongoing franchise fee is 5%.
Yep, the 5% is quite low compared to some concepts. Some concepts are charging 6, 7, 8, and even a little bit more sometimes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
And is it a strip mall? Is that the typical location of a quality site?
Absolutely. Strip mall with a very good anchor. You're in the A-, A, B-plus real estate.
And who's the franchise appeal to? Is it the mainly a woman-owned franchise, or the men are involved there as well?
Men are involved as well. Now, we do have a fair amount of husbands that are looking for something for their wives to do, or vice versa. The wife wants to do it, and they're bringing in the husband as well. Our first Arizona regional developer is a woman, and then we have our North Carolina and South Carolina regional developer is a man. So it's a good split. It's a 50-50 split as far as women to men owned franchise.
Yep, very good. Okay, well, let me move on to the second concept.
Sure.
Again, time's not our friend. So the next concept you've got, again, which is completely different to the massage with Koalaji, is best-in-class education centers. So I think the title gives away a little bit. Best-in-class education centers. What are they about?
Well, best-in-class is a combination business model as compared to the industry. So they are a children's education and tutoring concept. In, you know, Kumans and the Chitons and, Enopi, and those are some of their competitors. But most of their competitors either focus on the young or the older. With Best in Class, we do kids all the way from 3 years old all the way up to 18 years old. So when you do that broad range of age group, you have enrichment courses for both math and English. The splits are one teacher to eight kids on the math side, one teacher to six kids on the English side. When you get into the older kids, you have ACT, SAT prep. You've also got private tutoring for geometry, algebra, calculus, pre-calculus, as well as gifted tutoring programs, because each state has a gifted program that that the schools, you know, you have to be able to test into to get into the gifted program. So it's quite a range of services that the Best in Class offers.
All right, we need to head into a break. Elza, don't go away. My second guest this morning is Alpha Genix, and he represents three different franchise concepts. When we come back from break, I've got some more questions for Elza about best-in-class education centres and one of the other franchise concepts he represents. We'll be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogers and Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Hello? Hello? Hi.
What?
I'm Lisa from SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Who?
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Never heard of it.
Look, I know some people think of us as entertainment, but lots of people find jobs through us. So in order to be taken seriously, I'm going door to door with my harp.
I'm not home.
Then who's talking?
Are you going to play the harp?
Are you a harp fan?
Nope. Beautiful.
Thank you. Employers find local qualified employees.
Oh.
Post ads in minutes.
Oh.
Start getting resumes right away.
Don't sing.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Long name, amazing results.
I thought you never heard of us.
Nope, never.
In times of joy. In moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Wants to bring you the video. Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Money Experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. My second guest this morning is Elza Genix, and Elza's based in Arizona, and he's a franchise development officer with three different franchise concepts. Before the break, we were talking to him about his first concepts, which... I'm going to kill the name again. It's Quality. It's a spa concept. And before we went to break, we were talking about his second concept, which is best-in-class education centres, which provides tutoring and those sort of services for young kids. Elza, what's the role of the franchisee in a best-in-class education centre? What's the role of the franchisee?
Well, there's a couple of different roles, and you can be an owner-manager to where you hire the appropriate professionals, or we are seeing a lot of actual education professionals come into ownership as well, to where they are also not only owning and managing, but they're taking some participation in the education role as well. So it's kind of twofold as to who is investing. Because it's such a low investment, I mean, you're than $60,000 all in. It's a $30,000 franchise fee, and then the build out is very minimal because you can retrofit, you know, 1,000 square feet, and you're up and going. So we're seeing an array of skill sets that are coming in and owning these things.
And who would be an ideal candidate if somebody's thinking of getting into one of these franchises? Who would be an ideal candidate to get a best-in-class education center?
An ideal candidate is going to be it's so far what we've seen. It's the mom or the wife that the husband is working a lot of technology. We're having a lot of ethnicity. We're having a lot of ethnicities. Yeah, easy for me to say, I guess.
Yeah, ethnic groups. That's okay.
Yeah, we're having a lot of ethnic groups come in and own this franchise as well. They just tend to spend a lot of time and money on their kids' education, so it just makes sense. Mid-management has the availability of to invest in a $60,000 franchise, and then has the time to allot to. It's really a part-time business model. You're open about 3 days a week, and that's it.
So 3 days a week. It sounds like a good business. I'd like to work 3 days a week. That sounds pretty attractive.
I know, me too, huh?
So you've got a third concept, and again, time's not our friend, so let me quickly touch on the third concept, and
sure.
That's called the Native New Yorker Restaurants, and I'm feeling hungry just saying that name. So what's a Native New Yorker restaurant?
Well, Native New Yorker is a casual dining, family-oriented, sports-themed restaurant. It is a sit-down restaurant. I guess if you want to look at it as the closest competitor, closest competitor would be Buffalo Wild Wings because the wings are their staple. And if you're not from Arizona or Colorado, which we just stepped into Colorado and we're just into Texas now as well, and you've never tasted the wings, by far these wings are phenomenal.
So the food industry is a pretty competitive space. So one of the first things I came to my mind was we've got another food concept, which is fine. What's some of the competitive advantages of a Native New Yorker restaurant?
Well, the competitive advantages are they've been around for a long time. So they've been around since 1979. They have their systems of operations down pat. They've got about 28 units open right now. With more coming in Colorado and more coming in Texas. So their six-week initial training period is proprietary and takes you from step one all the way through, actually serving the food and watching the P&L. So their system of operations is really... what takes the cake for them.
Right. So the food industry, we've just gone through this recession. I think one of the advantages of being in the food industry is that for whatever reason, everyone needs to eat, which I guess that's what keeps us alive. But everyone's eating, and so that would make the business a little bit more recession resistant than other business concepts?
Yes, absolutely. Matter of fact, our year-over-year numbers increased and have been increasing since 2008. Now, a lot of that has to do with some of the hirings we have done. We have brought in a new CEO, and there's a new director of franchise operations, and we're really, really ramping up to get not just a regional concept, which is what we are now. We're a regional concept based out of Arizona, but we're really ramping up to become a national concept. So the year-over-year increases have a lot to do with the appropriate personnel we're hiring as well.
And for somebody thinking of buying into the Native New Yorker restaurant concept, what would be an ideal candidate for this concept?
Ideal candidate is probably going to have some restaurant experience, definitely going to have some managerial experience. They are financially capable of the investment. It's a large investment, so you're in the $500,000 to $2 million investment range. You can retrofit an old restaurant, which will put you in the $500,000 range, or you can build out from day one, and that's about a $2 million investment. We are looking for multiple unit candidates. Other food concept owners would be phenomenal. Food type investors like to diversify their portfolio, but their diversification is another food style rather than a best in class or something to that effect. So managerial experience, restaurant experience, financially capable, possible multiple unit owner, stuff like that.
And these three concepts we've been talking about this morning, all three concepts are available in the Sacramento area?
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely.
So if somebody has more questions, you're welcome to give me a call. I would connect you with Elza. So if you're thinking of getting into a franchise, give me a call, 916-570-2674. Happy to talk to you. There's a qualification process I can take you through, make sure you're a good candidate. And then if it makes sense, I'd introduce you to Elza, and he would spend some more time with you and make sure this is a concept that makes sense to you. Elza, thanks for being a guest this morning. Great to have you on board, and appreciate you making yourself available.
Andrew, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for listening to the show this morning. It's been great. My first guest this morning was Ron Crane. Ron's the Managing Director with DCA Partners. If you listen to the show, and again, you can go to my website to hear these shows. All these shows are available to go to my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. There's a black ribbon across the top, and one of the drop-downs there says Media. And then you click on that Media tab, and a drop-down comes up, says 105.5 FM, and all these shows are available to listen to. Ron's with DCA Partners. If you've got questions for Ron, you're welcome to reach out to him at 916-960-5350 or www.dcapartners.com. Or if you've got interest in any of the three franchise concepts that Elza was just talking about, please give me a call, 916-570-2674, and I'm happy to give you some more information, and you can decide your next steps from there. We can work together and decide next steps from there. My guest next week, I've got Brent Smith with Sedcorp. Sedcorp is a local lender up in the Auburn area, and they do a lot of help for small businesses. And I've also got a guest, Curtis Croker. He's with CoStar Group, which helps people buy and sell businesses through their websites, both business and commercial real estate properties. We're running out of time. It's the top of the hour. So thank you for listening today to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and we'll talk to you next week.